Welcome back to another episode of the Weaving Words Podcast. This week, it's just me and you. Didn't get a guest this time. Friends have been busy, and plus it's been a while since I kind of got to do a solo episode where I talk about stuff that I like, or, you know, stuff that I've kind of recently got into or watched, or stuff that I just remembered. And as of recording this episode, I just watched The Batman not too long ago. Came out this week. And I was fortunate enough to have one of my regulars at the shop, Jose, basically let me have his extra ticket to go watch it Thursday night. And for a 3-hour long movie, didn't seem that long. And I kind of wanted to talk about that for my present story that I've enjoyed. But you know how I format this show. It's not just, you know, what I've watched right now. It's what I liked in the past, whether it was a book, comic, video game. There's some cool stuff, and I decided to make this whole episode, basically, Oops All Batman, kind of like I did the, Oops All Boba. And, for a lot of my friends, they kind of know how I feel about Batman. I'm not the biggest fan. The only reason a lot of the times that I read Batman stories actually is because all of the good writers love Batman, so they write for Batman. So if I want to read a good story, most of the time I just got to read something Batman related, And one story that I really, really liked came out about 5 years ago now, actually. It was Batman the White Knight. White Knight was a story written and illustrated by Sean Murphy. You know, look at that. A writer and an artist. How talented. How unfair is that, right? I joke around. Me and my regulars always joke around how, like, yeah, some people just get all the talent. They can write, they can draw, they can sing, they can do backflips, standing backflips. I'm sure they probably can. I mean, if they're that talented enough to read or to write and draw, I'm sure they can do a backflip. But yeah, no, it's a really, really cool story. It's in its own universe, which is pretty dope. That way, it doesn't have to try to fit into any of the continuity with any of the other DC titles. And I kind of read this issue by, or this series by accident. Again, I had no plans on checking it out. And the covers look kind of cool. I kind of wonder what was going on. Just kind of read the first one to see what it was all about. And when I read it, I actually ended up really liking the premise. The premise is pretty much Batman's the bad guy. Which, yeah, if you write it well, you can make that argument. In the first issue, Batman, Nightwing, and Batgirl are pursuing the Joker through, you know, Gotham City, through the slums and whatnot. Batman's riding his freaking Batmobile on dilapidated buildings, you know, like these little apartment buildings and stuff like that, just messing shit up, you know, typical Batman stuff. And they corner him in a abandoned, like, pharmaceutical plant. And, you know, Joker's just egging him on, doing the whole Joker thing over and over and over and over again. And he, Batman, you know, kind of just reaches his limit and he, you know, beats the crap out of him, brutalizing him. He grabs a bottle of random pills that were just hanging around in the room and shoves them down his throat, you know, forces him to eat them. And, you know, that puts the Joker in the hospital. And the crazy thing is, all of GCPD is there. Batgirl, Nightwing, and then the, you know, Gotham City Police Department is there, just watching this go down, not really doing anything about it. And little do they know, Harley Quinn is in the background recording all of this. And she releases out to the public, shows basically what Batman did and how nobody did anything to stop him. Which, you know, when you let bad things happen, you're bad. And they write that Joker has been cured, you know, miraculously, quote unquote, air quoting right here. You can't see me, but I'm doing it. And he's going by Jack Napier, you know, his original name or his real name in this universe. And he basically comes out and kind of starts becoming a politician, you know, saying that he's cured and showing how corrupt things are and how GCPD and Batman don't really do anything about it. And what's cool is you actually get to see, it's written in a way where it calls out stuff that hasn't really been called out for Batman. Like, Bruce has to go to a like little function for Bruce Wayne, you know, for like rich people in Gotham. And he overhears people or people talking about like, oh, did you hear about what Batman did? You know, blah, 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 like taking down the Joker. And, you know, Batman's over, you know, like kind of overhearing it. And he goes, yeah, I love it when he does that kind of thing. And then he's a. He asks him, like, well, what do you mean? He goes, oh, yeah, when Batman destroys all these little slums, I buy up the property for super cheap and I kick out all the poor people and renovate them and gentrify the area. And then, you know, Bruce Wayne kind of doesn't say anything. But you can tell he's kind of realized, like, hold on a second. I didn't think that was going on, which is kind of hard to believe, right, that this master tactician doesn't think of any of this. And the whole time, Harley Quinn's helping Joker kind of, or not Joker, Jack, right? Jack Napier, he becomes the White Knight, helping him, how do you say, run for office. I think he's trying to run for mayor or something like that. He's trying to get a library built in this low-income area, and, you know, in the slums. And what's cool is they basically establish that there's two Harley Quinns in this universe. There's the original one, which is based off of like her original appearance in like the Batman animated series. And she actually cared about the Joker. You know, she loved him and she thought he loved her, but she, you know, realizes over time that he doesn't care about her. He's not capable of loving her. That he'll always pretty much just be out for himself. And yeah, she's a distraction or fun, but until she's not anymore. And at some point she's pretty much forced to leave. And the Joker just keeps doing his Joker thing. And then you find out that there was a second Harley Quinn and that she was actually a bank teller at a bank that the Joker was holding up. And, you know, Joker's just out of his mind. He's like, all right, Harley, let's go. And he kind of kidnaps her, you know, forces her to join him at gunpoint. And she kind of gets like Stockholm syndrome. And she starts liking it because she has like, you know, people fear her because she's with the Joker, and she kind of gets this power, and she likes the power that being with the Joker gives them and gives her over them. And she kind of takes advantage, and she's more of like your Suicide Squad-esque, like, you know, newer style Harley Quinn. So they kind of show that, you know, there's the original one and the new one, two different Harleys. And but it's the original one who wants him to get better, because again, she actually cares for him. She actually loves him. And again, if you ever get a chance to look up these images, like, oh, there's some super awesome artwork of like Jack Napier, you know, the Joker as Jack Napier with the suit on, and then Harley's like hanging on him with his like gorgeous cocktail dress on, like just really, really great design. They did a good job designing the art for all this. You have Batman with his cowl with a little collar on it, almost like Robert Pattinson's Batman in the Batman movie. He has the little collar. The car is almost similar too. It's a little different in the White Knight. The engine's in the front, like it's in the middle of the front, whereas in obviously in the Batman, if you haven't seen it yet, it's in the back. But very similar, like Hot Rod-esque, like overcharged, overpowered, very mechanical, you know. And what's cool is he also show all in his Batcave. He has every single iteration of the Batman, the Batmobile. He has the Batman animated series Batmobile, the really cool lean one, you know, almost looks like a Lincoln. He has the Tumbler from the Dark Knight trilogy, and just everything's in there. The Michael Keaton one has all these different Batmobiles, which is freaking awesome. And the reason I bring that up is the Joker starts kind of turning people over, like turns GCPD over, you know, turns first Gordon, then GCPD, and then turns Batgirl and Nightwing over, you know, to the right side, because he is making valid points. Like, he basically tells Jim Gordon, like, how come he's the only one with the bulletproof armor? You know, if he's really your guys' buddy, how come he's the only one that doesn't have to worry about, you know, getting shot to death? Meanwhile, you know, how many GCPD officers die daily? How come he's the only one with the Batmobile? How come there's no fleet of Batmobiles for Gotham City Police Department? So he kind of starts making these good points, to the point where, like, again, everybody turns against him. And Batman is still kind of, because he's always kind of been stubborn and, you know, had to have his own way in the comics. And he's kind of coming around in the sense of, like, realizing that he just can't keep doing what he does. But he's also trying to track down, because there was the second Harley Quinn who wants Joker to get bad, you know, to get worse, to go back to how he was. and she's kind of keeps trying to pull him back. And then the Joker, the meds that he took, they're wearing off. So they show a lot of the times that he has two different colored eyes for, you know, being Jack and for being the Joker. And Jack Napier doesn't want to be the Joker anymore. He wants to be good. And again, you get to see that himself, his mind literally torn between the two. And then I think Mr. Freeze is in the story too, if I remember correctly. But yeah, it was a really cool story. What's her name? The second Harley ends up becoming the Neo Joker, which is kind of cool. It was a new character they introduced in that story where she's like, fuck it. If you don't want to be the Joker, I'll be the Joker. But that was a really cool run. It ran for 8 issues. They did a few spinoffs. So they did a sequel to it called Curse of the White Knight. I still haven't read that. Hopefully it's good. I actually have the issues. I just haven't had a chance to read them. Then they did a White Knight Presents Harley Quinn. I didn't read that one. I don't have those issues. I'll probably have to end up picking up the trade paperback for that. But that was another cool one. Again, like, it was just a cool story that I kind of enjoyed. It's interesting to see a lot of the Batman stuff visually inspired by that. And they're doing another one soon, I think this month or next month, called Batman Beyond the White Knight. So it looks like Batman Beyond is going to be in there. So I'm kind of interested to see how they play that off in that universe, how he fits into the story. Also, if they're going to time jump a lot into the future, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I talked a lot about the Batman movie, and that's what I watched recently. That's something that I experienced recently. The Batman movie was really cool. They made it 3 hours long, which is long. It's there's no arguing that it's long, like that it's not that long. Like it's a long movie. It's 3 hours, but it doesn't feel that long. You know, me and my friend Mike, who's a really, really big Batman fan, we've watched a lot of Batman movies together. His movie is definitely, he says, number one's always going to be The Dark Knight. And I thought it was a cool movie, but when I watched it, when it came out, it felt really long. Like, I was like, oh, cool, it's wrapping up, it's ending. Oh, wait, there's another 15 minutes. Okay, but it's wrapping up, it's in right now. Wait, there's more? Like, it kept going. It felt like it kept going. And that's one thing that I don't like about long movies is when you keep checking your watch, you keep checking, like, dang, how much time is left in this? When I watched The Batman, the new movie, I didn't feel it. I was like, I kept watching. And then when it was done, I was like, dang, oh my God, it's already, you know, X amount of time. Like it was late. Yeah, it would have been, it was like 10:30, close to 11 actually, when it finished. And I was like, man, it didn't feel like it was that long. Like it was just really, really good movie. Again, I'm really, really happy I was able to watch it. I'm just going to say spoiler alert because I don't know how much I'm going to go into. I do want to talk about a lot of the characters and a lot of kind of what happens in there. So if you haven't seen it already, then skip it or just wait till after you see it. And then we can, you know, you can get my thoughts on it. But the few people that I have talked to, what I like about the Batman is obviously it's not a super experienced Batman. He says in the beginning of the movie that he's only 2 years into it. So it's not quite like Batman Begins, where they're starting all over again, but he's still fairly young. He's still kind of figuring out what he wants to do and who he wants to be, because throughout the whole movie, he keeps saying, I'm vengeance, I'm vengeance. You know, he's still harboring that hatred and that anger of, you know, what happened to him? You know, little Bruce Wayne walking down the alley and getting his parents killed. And they start with the Riddler killing someone and doing all these riddles and leaving these breadcrumbs for Batman, which is cool because as you watch the movie, Batman's solving them. It's taking him a little bit of work on some of them, but he gets a lot of them. But what's cool is by the end of the movie, you realize that he wasn't getting all of it, and he didn't know that. So again, he's young. He's not the perfect detective, but what I did like about this movie is they played up the fact more that he is a detective. He's not just a superhero. He's a detective. He's going around solving crimes. He's so new though that even GCPD is not on his side. You get to see like the cool thing about it being so long and them telling the story. They did a good job showing how GCPD didn't trust him. How they were very cautious, looked at him kind of like a freak, like, oh, what the hell is this guy doing at the crime scene? You're not worried about him fucking shit up. He's a criminal. He's a loony, you know, like he's just crazy person in a bat suit. And by the end of it, a lot of people turn around on him, like they change their tune and you start seeing the acceptance of not only like members of GCPD, but of the city as well. You know, the mayoral candidates, like they're denouncing him. They're saying he's a vigilante running loose, just, you know, bringing these people out, the worst of them. And he's the reason why it's getting worse and worse. And you kind of see him leading people out of the darkness, which is weird, right? Because he lives in the darkness, and kind of showing them like, I'm here to help. I'm not just, you know, here to be vengeance. Because that's after his whole thing, realizing like, oh, maybe I'm not vengeance. Maybe I need to rebrand myself in the sense of why I'm doing this. Because vengeance isn't good. Like, it really isn't. You know, it might feel good, but it's not. Like, so he kind of does it to, again, him, even himself turning a leaf, rethinking and changing the purpose of the Batman, and getting the whole city on his side, and showing that he's not just there to beat up bad guys. He's there to help. He's there to save people, dealing with these super villains, or not even super villains, just these crazy people like the Riddler. Penguin is really cool. If you didn't know already, Colin Farrell's playing the Penguin, and if nobody told you, you wouldn't know. He does not look like him. He doesn't act like him. He doesn't talk like him at all. It was a really, really well done, really good performance by Colin Farrell. I'm really proud, actually, of his acting chops, because a lot of the stuff he's been in, I wasn't a huge fan. Like, his version of Bullseye is not the best. I just can't think of a whole lot of great stuff that he's been in, so I'm really, really proud to see him come into his own with this movie. But yeah, it was just done really well. The actors did a great job. Catwoman was in there too. They did a good job on showing her where she is a sexual person, but she's not sexualized in the sense of she's not an object. Like, that's just part of her charm. That's part of her character, where she is, you know, sexy, uses her wiles to get what she wants, to, you know, be empowered, which is weird to say, right? But she's a badass. She kicks ass when she needs to. She acts demure and vulnerable when she has to, you know, lure people around. It's just, we've come a long way from the Anne Hathaway, nothing cat, you know, cardboard Catwoman, and the overly sexualized, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer and Halle Berry Catwoman. So it's a really good rendition of her. I like them with their vehicles. The Batmobile was badass. Yeah, everything was just cool. It was done really well. Again, like the Riddler, they did such a good job with him, and the interaction between him and Batman. Again, Robert Pattinson did a great job as Batman. I'm always of the camp of let's see. We'll wait and see on how they do. Everyone was complaining about him. They were also complaining about Ben Affleck as Batman, and I liked his Batman as well, especially for the superhero universe. Everybody always complains about these actors. And I'm sure people complained about Michael Keaton initially as well, you know, now, and it's funny, it's always in hindsight that we're like, oh yeah, no, it was the best, or he was really good. But I'm sure when they announced Michael Keaton at first, people were like, what the fuck, the comedian, that curly haired fuck, like, why is he going to be Bruce Wayne? He's not Bruce Wayne. So yeah, I feel like, the new actor did a great job, and, they played Bruce Wayne a little different than usual, which is cool, because it makes a lot more sense. Like, the problem I always had before when they would portray Bruce Wayne as this like billionaire playboy, it's like, yeah, but he's never out anywhere. They claim to see him, and but he's actually out, you know, fighting crime or whatever. So it's like one of those, like, this makes sense where he's how do you say, not a shut-in, he's he's like a hermit almost. Like, he just doesn't leave. He's he doesn't leave his home, his tower, quote unquote. He's still grieving his parents. Recluse. There you go. That's the word for he's a recluse. So when he comes out, people are like, oh shit, it's Bruce Wayne. And it's cool to see, like, the cops that were talking shit to Batman be like, oh, hey, right this way, Mr. Wayne, right this way, Mr. Wayne. Like, it's done so well. It's cool to see the interactions with the gang leaders, Carmine, and the other guys. Like, they did just such a good job. They did such a good job with the storytelling. Again, the movie did not feel long. I actually want to go back and watch it. I just got to find, you know, 3.5 hours to kill, basically, to go watch it, because my buddy wants to go watch it too. But yeah, if you guys haven't already, I definitely recommend checking out The Batman. If you have any hesitation or reservations, I mean, just give it a shot. Like, I don't know. People are so scared to take chances nowadays, you know, that they're willing to take everybody else's word for stuff. And it's like, you know what? Just watch it, be your own judge, go in with an open mind. I don't know. I feel like you're less disappointed if you just go in there waiting to see what it is. I'm definitely going to do a video soon or a podcast episode talking about my reaction, my thoughts on the Boba Fett TV show, because that's all everyone seems to have questions for me lately is, what'd you think about the Boba Fett show? And I have a lot of thoughts. I'm not crazy upset like some of these guys are, and I'm not crazy saying that it's the perfect best Boba Fett story ever, because it's not. It's not the worst and it's not the best. It's all right, and I'll talk about it. But yeah, and then keeping it up with the theme of Batman, one thing I am looking forward to, we're almost halfway through the story as of now. Issue 5 just came out a week or two ago, last week actually, and it's a comic book story called Dark Knights of Steel. It's another one of these like what if type stories. Where what if the L's, you know, Superman's parents, not only did they send him back in time, not only did they send him off and he arrived back like during like medieval times, but what if they came back with him? You know, they made the spaceship enough to be able to carry the wife and the husband, you know, his mom and dad, while she's pregnant. And yeah, the first issue they land. And, yeah, these knights roll up, you know, with, like, bows and arrows, and then they're like, oh, what are you, you know, demons or whatever, or invaders, and they're getting ready to shoot arrows at the, I think her name's not Kara, what the hell, Lara, that's Jor-El's wife, Superman's mom. She's in labor, and he's, like, trying to talk to these guys, like, no, stop, my wife's in labor, but they can't understand him because he's speaking Kryptonian. And they're about to, you know, let loose the arrows, and he just like laser beam, you know, he just heat visions them, just turns them into freaking ash. And then it picks up like throughout all of this, there's a Constantine, or the medieval version, you know, Dark Knights of Steel version of Constantine, John Constantine, in a cell somewhere, saying a prophecy of how there's going to be demons who come from the skies that look like us but will destroy us. And he's telling this prophecy to, I forget the guy's name. I'm really bad with names. But it's basically Black Lightning, and he's the king of whatever, this mystical kingdom, you know, this thunder kingdom or whatnot. And then the story jumps forward in time. And Batman, who is the Dark Knight, you know, he has this cool, like, Batman, or Bruce, you know, he's the Dark Knight. He has this cool, like, Batman armor. Is rolling with his Robins. He has a group of a bunch of like little orphans that help him out find magical threats. Because at this point, Jor-El and Lara are king and queen of the kingdom, and they Bruce is pretty much tasked with taking care of the magical threats, because that's the only thing that can hurt Superman and his mom and dad, like that can hurt the elves. And so they're trying to keep Clark, you know, a Superman or Kal-El safe. From all these magical threats. So they go, and I think they find Black Canary, and they knock her out, take her to the dungeon. When you're in the dungeon, you see like the Flash running in circles in his cell, you know, stuff like that. It's pretty cool. But they start kind of bringing the whole thing of like, yeah, you're just keeping these people down here indefinitely. There's no no trial. Like, it's just not justice. And when they go up, Jor-El goes up to the walls to talk to Bruce, you know, on the roof, basically to talk to Bruce about what happens, you know, like what's going on. And he basically tells him like, hey, you know, you're special. You're the result of, you know, a moment of weakness between me and your mother, and you're actually my son. And then, right when he says that, Jor-El gets killed by a, construct arrow, you know, from Green Lantern, or a Green Lantern arrow. It kills him. And, what was it? Did it kill him? Yeah, well, for sure kills him, but it was, the Green Arrow makes, you know, he has like a Green Lantern powered, bow, and, Bruce finds him and like, I think cuts off his arm like right away, just rips it off of him. Cause he starts seeing that he's you know, he's half Kryptonian. So some of the powers start manifesting. And then, yeah, after that, they go to Themyscira, where all the women, you know, the Amazons are at. And that's where Superman has a younger sister. Her name's, I wish I can remember. It was Zara. I think it was Zara was her name. And tells her, like, hey, your dad's dead. Like, you know, so-and-so, you know, the Black Lightning King or whatever killed her. And then Lois Lane's on the island. She's on the mascara as well. And what happened? She takes off. Supergirl. Well, I'm calling her Supergirl, but Zara takes off. And she goes at night to Black Lightning's king, like his castle. Because they had showed earlier that he has like two daughters and a son. And the sons, you know, they can all do the whole, like, there's one has lightning powers, one of them has rain powers. One of them has like wind and electric powers and stuff. And I guess their son, the youngest one, the youngest kid, the son, he can control the rain, which hasn't been, you know, I guess lineage wise has been generations since someone's been able to do that. Well, she breaks the castle open and, you know, grabs the kid, flies up with him. Black Lightning's like, hey, put him down. She's like, that's the plan. And she drops him and he dies. She kills, you know, the son. Black Lightning shocks her and she's like, ooh, that kind of tickled. Like, it didn't phase her. Well, then when they go, in the next issue, he goes back to, he goes to Themyscira to talk to Wonder Woman Diana's mom, Hippolyta, about like, hey, all the, you know, I was attacked by the El's daughter or whatever, you know, even though he's the one who provoked him, right? And I was attacked by the El's daughter and can I count on you having my back? Because I guess they've always had an alliance no matter what. And while there, again, Supergirl attacks him, rips his ship apart. He tells her, like, oh, the last time you caught me off guard, I was half asleep or whatever. So he shocks her. She falls into the ship, gets back up, tears it all apart, like laser beams it or whatever, breath, you know, super breaths it or whatever. Just showing, like, yeah, they really can't do anything to her. And then they start showing more of what went down, like how everything went down with the Waynes and with Els, on how at first, you know, Thomas Wayne was really upset, you know, that what his wife had done, but then, and at first was, how do you say, upset about Bruce not being his, but after he raised him, you know, and started raising him, and he's like, no, this is my child, like, no matter what happened, no matter the origins, this is my son. It's just, the story's done really, really well, and it's Tom Taylor writing it, who's been doing the most kick-ass stories lately for DC, and then I can't pronounce her name properly, is Yasmin Putri, who's been doing the interiors and covers, and the variants have been out of this world. I've been getting the variants for every issue just because I saw I was going to pass on, I was like, I don't need to get all these variants, and then I saw what issue 3 looked like, the variant. And it was like an oil painting almost of Superman with like this shining armor and a flag. And he looked like this, just like this very like French knight, you know. And I was like, yeah, I got to have all the variants then. And they just came out with issue 1 through 3 on the for the Dark Knights of Steel that had an all new, never before used art piece. And I'm like, fuck, I have to get this one too now. Like, it's been putting a really, really big, like, hole in my wallet where all my money just keeps falling out for this series because it's done so well. You start seeing stuff like there was a Lex Luthor in this universe, and you start finding out that he's the Green Man. So he kind of went crazy like the Joker and also got the Green Lantern powers. So it's like, man, this story just keeps getting more and more wild. You start seeing kryptonite landing, like big chunks of kryptonite. And, Zara, Superman's younger sister, she's kind of starting to go crazy with power and kind of wanting to just get done with Kings, you know, because of all this bullshit going on with Kings and stuff is why she lost her dad. So she's kind of ready for the I think she said the Age of Kings to be done or something. But it's done really well. I'm really interested to see what happens with Wonder Woman in the story, because Wonder Woman and Zara are kind of a thing, you know, a romantic item. And then I want to see the interaction between this world's Lois Lane and Superman, seeing as how in this universe, Kal-El, he's the prince. He's not some bumbling, you know, newspaper reporter. So I want to see how this is going to work out between Superman, you know, Kal-El and Lois Lane. Is he going to be one of those, like, he's going to be pursuing her, thinking he's entitled to it, like, you know, thinking that it should impress her that she's a, or that he's a prince, and her kind of being like, whatever, Like, I'm surrounded by all these strong ass women. Like, what the hell can you offer? You know, like, I don't care that you're a king or a prince or whatever. So, yeah, I'm that's one thing that I'm really looking forward to is this, this Dark Knights of Steel story. If you haven't already, definitely check it out. Like I said, they did issue 1 through 3 in a collected edition. Issue 4 and 5, I believe, are out. And this should be a little bit easier to get. Like, at our location, we've ordered up a little bit more to make sure that people can get what they want. But it's been a really cool series. Probably one of the better books that DC's been putting out lately. Again, like I said earlier, I'm not the biggest Batman fan, but if a story is good, a story is good. And I feel like DC and Marvel, you know, people think I'm a DC fan, but the reality is I read whatever is good. If it's good, I want to read it. And Marvel and DC, their main stuff hasn't been the best. Like, the mainline titles haven't been the greatest, but all the side stuff has, you know. Like, for DC, you got Dark Knights of Steel, you have The Deceased, you have DC versus Vampires, Task Force Z. For Marvel, there's the Dark Ages, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff. Like, you know, all their Star Wars stuff is great. So again, I kind of feel like we're in a weird spot right now where, I mean, yeah, you can keep reading like the main stuff if you want, but it's not going to be where the best writing's at. Shoot, DC put out Last God a year or so ago now, and that was one of the best titles that DC put out that had nothing to do with the DC superhero universe. It's just this really great Tolkien-esque story that I'll probably talk about at some point because it's just fucking awesome. I don't know if I have talked about it yet or not. Whatever. My memory's not the best. But yeah, because it's just me, you know, these episodes are a little bit faster, you know, they're a little bit shorter because I don't have anybody asking me questions. It's just me kind of flowing, just, you know, kind of free-form thoughts. Just intimate, just you and me and my daddy juice, a.k.a. Jameson Whiskey. Back to normal. If you have any questions, any suggestions, I mean, you guys know by now, hit me up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter if you want. I hardly use that, but I mean, I'll answer questions. If people message me through that, I'll do it. We have the Discord server, Hooligan Squad Discord server, Weaving Words Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Gmail, Twitter. If you have any guests you want to see come back, because I know a lot of my buddies want to come back. I'm trying to get anyone and everyone when they can to get some follow-ups. I know Jose wants to come back and talk about, you know, what the last episode he did. He was looking forward to the Godzilla versus Kong, and the movie came out. So I want to get his thoughts on that and talk a little bit more Power Rangers. He's kind of been reading that still, and there's been some really good stories. But yeah, let's... let's see what kind of trouble we can get into. All right, until next time, guys, y'all have a good one. Thanks for listening. And then, yeah, let me know some stories that you guys have gotten into or some stuff that I should check out. I know we always have recommendation for you guys, but we, you know, we can take them as well. We, you know, like I said, I will read, I will watch anything if it is good. Just has to have a good narrative. But other than that, have a good one. Adios. Goodbye.